The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation at GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 35 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Tips for Kids with Cystic Fibrosis.
Hi everyone, Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, the Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. So today we got a reader or a viewer email. Julia got it, actually. So Julia, let's hear it.
This is a question from a CF mom asking us how to help her get her young daughter to swallow her pills and get better at doing her treatments. Because for very young kids, I think it's difficult for any parent to tackle that issue.
Yeah, this is certainly something that comes up quite a bit. Obviously, the pill situation is a nasty hurdle that kids have to cross. So what did you do?
I was awful at taking pills. I mean, I still am. Like, I get over it now because I'm a big girl. But
you are.
But I had a really tough time. I think I gave my parents a hard time up until I was like 12 years old. And we used to, especially oral antibiotics, like the horse pills, I used to call them. Mm-hmm. We would cut them, which only made it worse because then it was like chalky in your mouth.
And sharp and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I would try to put it in applesauce just to make it go down easier. I mean, any tip and trick, like, we tried. So I think that's kind of trial and error, like figuring out what works.
Yeah, you know, I think there's different ways to go about it. Obviously, we'll see if you're dealing with different kinds of pills, right? So first you have, for people that are pancreatic insufficient like me, we have enzymes, which are typically, they're like the plastic, I don't even know if it's plastic, but it's like the absorbable pill like material that covers the enzymes that are inside, and it breaks open once it's inside you. So what I did for those when I was really little, my parents actually used to break open the enzymes and pour it out on like yogurt or ice cream. I mean, this is when I was like really, really little, like 2 or 3, 4 years old. And that's how they got me to take the enzymes that way before meals. They'd like, you know, give me a scoop of yogurt with every meal or something like that. That's how they basically did it. The big hurdle for me was the vitamins. Back in the day, the vitamins are like a little different now. They kind of look like they're fat soluble, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of like a little gooey. But back in the day, they sort of looked like, like you said, chalky, like they're big chalky pills. And I used to break those in half. And I do remember that if I didn't break it cleanly, or if my parents didn't break it cleanly, one half would be significantly more difficult to take than the other. Like, I do think that, and I'm probably sure this is the reason why, but pills are shaped in a certain way so that they're easy to swallow.
Right. Yeah.
And for the longest time, I actually used to like hate taking chewable pills or like chewable vitamins, whatever. I would not chew them because I just thought they tasted horrible. Even like Tums, like for your stomach or whatever.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I wouldn't chew Tums. And meanwhile, there's people out there that love the taste of Tums and they just like pop it like as candy, which I don't recommend doing. But that's, you know, for some reason, I just could not get over the hurdle of chewing a pill.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely was never one to opt for the chewable version or the liquids.
The liquids is horrible. Yeah, I hated the liquids. So my motivation really to take the pill was because I always hated the liquid form of the medication. Like when I was at the pediatrician or whatever, and I had, I don't know, strep throat or sinus infection or whatever, and they wanted to prescribe the liquid form of you know, whatever antibiotic was going to be used to treat the sinus infection, I'd be like, no. I would say I want the pill because I would take it. And at a young age, for that reason, that's why I learned how to take pills, or I learned how to take pills more regularly, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you do have to learn, because as you grow older with CF, you're taking God knows how many pills. I'd probably take 50 to 60 pills a day.
Yeah, it's certainly something that you have to just get used to. And I eventually did too. I mean, I was on an oral antibiotic probably every other month as a kid growing up. And I remember the battles. I mean, I would throw hissy fits. I was one of those children.
Oh, God.
So I remember those days. And it was just a hurdle that I eventually just like came to terms with. And, you know, started to just, and I also started to realize, like, as I got older, I got a little smarter and was like, oh, if I just swallow the whole pill, like, and just get it over with,
then it's less of a production.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. So I very funny, I have a very funny memory of, I was in the hospital going for like a PICC line or something, and the nurse wanted to give me Versed, right, to calm me down. So it's like Versed is basically one of those things that you like just kind of just chills you out. And because I'm a very anxious little kid and I hated needles, and this is a few years after I'd run away from the operating room, you know, a few years earlier. And the nurse was like, I'm Irish. I know how to do this. I know how to throw back a shot like this. And my parents looked at her like, you know, you're talking to an 11-year-old kid, right? And I think at the time it went right over my head, but looking back on some crazy moments, I was like, "Oh, that's actually what's going on here." But I, you know, there are little tips and tricks. I used to hold my nose. That, you know, who knows whether or not that actually works or does anything.
Yeah.
And I obviously, when I was really little, I did the yogurt thing, or the I'd let the pills dissolve in some sort of food, and that's what I would do. And then obviously, with the liquids, you just mix it into like a soda or something. That's yep. I did that as well. I don't even know. Do kids even do that anymore? The medications look like they've come a long way as far as their taste goes from when we were little kids.
I would agree.
Because I remember taking the liquid version of like zithromycin. Oh my God, brutal. Just absolutely horrible. Even when I do nebulizers today, sometimes the taste of the nebulizer, like with, if I'm doing like some crazy antibiotic that's nebulized through, yeah, through the nebulizer, and it tastes so bad that I chew gum while I do the nebulizer, or I'll suck out a mint while I'm doing the nebulizer, just so I don't have to taste the horrible taste of the medicine or whatever it is, the mist, the steam, I don't know if steam is the right word, whatever it is that comes out of the nebulizer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't taste very good, and I have to chew gum with it.
Horrible, yeah.
I also use a nose clip. Like when if you go to the doctor and you have to do a PFT, you just bring your nose clip home with you. That in a way you can use it when you're doing your nebs. And you're also inhaling it. You're doing a better job of inhaling it. That's just a little tip and trick I've learned on the way. Yeah. Oh, so you don't do that, do you?
No.
Yeah, so you bring it home. You know, I have to do the nose clip for a PFT?
I know. They always fall off of me. I, like, have to use the baby ones.
Yeah, so if you don't know what a PFT is, if you're listening to this, you're not familiar with CF, it's basically the test that measures your lung function and how you're doing with your disease. In a general sort of way. Yeah. So you have to clip your nose because it's all about lung volume and pure function and stuff like that, and air in and out of the lungs and stuff like that. So you have to use a nose clip, and I bring that home and I use that when I do a nebulizer. It makes me look like an alien and talk like an alien.
I mean, you're already there with the vest. Might as well just go all the way.
The look doesn't really matter at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. No, but that's something that I actually do. I do the nose clip, even as I've gotten older, and the gum or the mint while I inhale the nebs. Because, the bottom line is you want to do something that makes you, feel comfortable in doing the med. It's obviously something that you don't want to do, or something, that may not be the right way of putting it, but something that isn't fun or...
Right. There's like, other things you would rather
be doing. Yes, there's other things that you'd rather be doing. And you have to make it as easy for you as possible.
Right.
So, if I have a stinky neb, I put the nose clip on and throw in some gum. Yeah, exactly. But for little kids, let's go from moving from pills to nebulizers now for little kids. There's the way they make it engaging, the way my parents did, as I always said, is they made treatment time like a social time. Like they made me feel like I was never alone when I was doing my treatments.
Yeah. Oh, same. We did them together. I have a brother with CF, so that helps. but we would just switch on and off of the machines. And my oldest brother would always sit with us during them, and we'd play video games. We'd play Mario Kart. And I have, like, actually very fond memories of doing my treatments as a child because of that. And I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again because everyone loves using this trick, but my mom only made it possible for any child with or without CF in our household to be playing video games or watching TV if one of us was on the treatment. So my oldest brother would beg us to do treatments. And you remember when the Vest had dial back? Like,
yeah.
Once we got a little older and smarter again, we would dial it back like multiple times. My mom would be like, that was definitely a half hour. Like, you don't.
You're on the Vest for like 45 minutes.
And we're like, nah, look at the time.
Just one more game of Mario Kart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just keep pushing it back just a little bit. Yeah,
no, we were like overly compliant.
Yeah, because of that. Yeah, I mean, that's a good strategy. I think, you know, you have to, like we've always say on here, the treatments are, they're a long-term thing. You know, you're not going to see positive gain from doing them every day. That's an unfortunate reality of cystic fibrosis. You're not going to see the positive gain from sitting down and doing your treatments twice every day. What you will see is the negative repercussions of not doing them.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to convince a kid that sort of relationship, you know, positive and negative to the treatments.
Yeah, because as a child, you're not seeing the bigger picture.
No, you're not.
Anytime.
I mean, you can be the smartest kid in the world and you're not going to understand until you're maybe in high school. And the first time CF comes around and stops you from doing something, that's when you really recognize the importance of the treatments, I think. I used to hate the Vest, and the Vests are a lot more comfortable the way they make them these days than they ever were when we were kids. I mean, I remember putting them on and feeling like I was being like sucked into a black hole.
Yeah, and you like
and you like couldn't move your arms. You're like, you felt like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and you're like just like stuck, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can fall asleep anywhere, and this is a testament to that. I used to fall asleep even when the Vest was like that.
Really?
Like my parents would find me passed out.
As in, my friend, whenever I'm doing the Vest in like a social setting, when I was in college, or if my friends are over or whatever, or I'm out with my friends and I'm take the Vest with me, my friends always fall asleep.
Yeah.
While the Vest is
like
on.
Like the white noise.
They just puts them right to sleep. It's like the most crazy thing. I can never fall asleep to it because I'm just shaking so violently. But yeah. It's so weird. Every single one of my friends, or the majority of my friends rather, does fall asleep when I'm doing the Vest.
Yeah. That's understandable. I think making it like incentivizing it is totally fair.
Oh no,
like,
it's fine. Having CF sucks. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's not a fun thing to do. So you have to make things fun for kids. You know, if that means letting the kid play video games or watching TV or doing something like that, that's great. You're not gonna be able to read a book while you're doing the Vest because your eyes are shaking. It's just not gonna happen. So, you know, there's little tricks like that that get little kids to work with the Vest. I mean, it's a non-homework time. I mean, as you get older, you learn how to study and stuff like that. But for, you know, I used to, like, convince myself that's when I would do it, and it would never happen.
And then you'd be on Facebook.
Yeah, and then as soon as the treatments ended, then it was game time.
Yeah. I actually have learned how to paint my nails while being on the Vest.
Wow, that's actually really impressive.
My friends were like amazed, and I think because I'm so focused for that half hour on just getting something done, like I do a pretty good job.
Yeah, wow, that's actually really impressive. I can use a syringe while I'm on the Vest. I can use a syringe to mix medicine. That's my little technique or
cool trick.
Yeah, cool trick that I can do while I'm on the Vest. And then the other thing, you know, the other thing to do is to make the Vest seem normal. Like, you let your kids' friends try it, you know?
Yeah.
That's another thing. My friends, especially when I got older, they all wanted to try it.
Oh yeah.
Like right when I got to college, that was the big thing for kids to do.
I went to a new school for high school, and so I was meeting all these new friends. I had a bunch of them over, and I would hide like my computer or something, and I'd have it on record. I wish I still had these videos. They've got to be somewhere. Anyway, and I wouldn't tell them what it did, and I would just put it on one of them and see the reaction. It was hilarious, especially when they don't know what's about to happen to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, however you can involve other people in the treatment process is what is really going to help the kids to do their treatments. You know, it's you're not going to be able to convince a kid the importance of treatments and the complexities of them at such a young age. You have to just sort of drill it into them as a responsibility and a normal part of everyday life. Because by the time they're teenagers, that's when you really want them to focus on what they're doing, as we've said countless times here.
Yeah, you've got to normalize it in the best way that you can, because it is normal life with CF.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's something you'd be living with for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
Regardless of the medications that come out, there's no real, you know, change from it. Obviously, there are substitute devices for the vest. There's there's the percussor, there's the frequencer, yeah. There's the PEP mask, there's all those things.
Whatever.
So, you know, you had to figure out a way for those devices specifically to make them more manageable. You know, obviously some devices require the use of your hands, you know. It's a little more annoying when you have one hand tied to the machine or one hand tied to the nebulizer or something like that, and then you only have one more hand. How can you make that fun? You sort of have to get creative.
Yeah, you certainly can't paint your nails.
You can't paint your nails with one hand. I would know because I've tried so many times. So many times have I tried to do that.
You can give yourself a pedicure.
Speaking of painting your nails, I have like enormous CF nails from the clubbing in the fingers and toes. My big toe on both of my feet is the size of a normal person's foot. Like it can fit into its own sneaker. That's how big my toe is. It's enormous.
Wow.
It's just.
I don't find feet appealing anyway.
No, they're definitely not. They're definitely not at all. It's a gross thing. But my big toe is just so huge. Whenever I'm wearing like flip-flops or sandals, as if I'm wearing sandals, flip-flops or slides, someone's always like, that toe is enormous. And I'm like, yeah, I know. My toe is enormous. In college, some of like our girlfriends or whatever, they wanted to like see how much nail polish it would take to paint the big toe. The stupidest thing I ever did, because they were obviously trying to play a prank on me, and they used that like the permanent type nail polish as they tried to trick me, right? So I found out halfway through the nail painting situation, because we wanted to see how much it would take, right? That's what they at least convinced me. And for weeks, I had glitter nail polish on my left big toe, like a stripe of it just right down the middle, and it just wouldn't go away. It was horrible, but I can't believe I just told that story, but that's the story of my nail painting days, I guess. This is so embarrassing, so stupid, it's horrible.
It's hilarious.
How do we get there?
Good prank. Oh, I paint my nails while doing therapy, so it is possible for all those girls out there. You just got to get the right angle and like remove your arms from like the armholes.
Oh my god. Things you can do while you're doing treatments.
Yeah. Be productive. Paint your nails.
Yes. And then really at the end, okay, so back to the the concept of this podcast.
Yeah.
Which is so far gone now. Yeah. you know, at the end of the day, the ultimate motivation for these things is if you wanna stop feeling sick or wanna get better, or if you are sick and you wanna get to a point of not being sick, you have to convince your son and daughter that that's what the treatments are for. You know, and it's not an overnight process. It takes time, but that's ultimately what will lead an older child to accept the reasoning for the treatments, in my experience, at least.
Totally.
And if you have tips, we want to hear from you as well. You know, I think this is one of those things where everyone, you talk to people growing up with CF, they've all have a story or a method that they used when they were kids to try to get, you know, that their parents use to try to get them to do treatments.
Totally.
You know, this is something that every single family with CF struggles with. It's not like a, you know, this isn't in the parenting manual, as they say. Right. It's not, you know, you get the CF diagnosis and then you go home and you're like, how the hell do we convince our kid to do treatments? You know, that's,
yeah.
No one really tells you how to do that. You sort of have to learn it on the fly because some things will work for some kids and some things will work for other kids.
Right. Yeah, I think it'd be cool to see the comment section on this.
Yeah, I mean, really, you have to. It really comes down to your kid's level of creativity and your creativity as a parent. Those are,
yeah.
I think those are the important things here.
Yeah, for sure. I remember, you know who Raffi is, right? Do you know who Raffi is? The children's song singer?
Nope, I don't know who that is.
When I was really little, like 2 and 3, because he sings like Knees Up Mother Brown. Do you know that song?
Nope.
I won't be singing it. Baby Beluga and the Deep Blue Sea, those songs? Yeah. Oh, Gunner. Oh, some of these moms out there will know these songs. Anyway, he was a child song singer, and my mom used to make therapy Raffi time for my brother and I, and we like were stoked about it, you know? Like, yes, we get to listen to Raffi.
Obviously, it was a very different approach from your mom to my parents. I remember when I was little, the way I would, like, treatment time, I used to watch Top Gun. At like, oh, we had just gotten a Laserdisc set, and like,
okay, I'm talking about when I was like 2.
That's what I'm saying. That's when I watched Top Gun. I watched Top Gun when I was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. I skipped the entire like Disney movie part of life, and I went right into Top Gun. And I probably seen that movie over 100 times. And I used to pretend that I was Maverick with the oxygen mask on when I was doing the nebulizer when I was a little kid. Like I used to, like they, my parents like timed the start of Top Gun with the starting of my nebulizer. So that, like, the noise of the nebulizer, I can, like, pretend it was, like, a little airplane and stuff. So, to this day, I love Top Gun, and that's probably why.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like it. See? Different strokes.
Totally, totally different parenting. I can't endorse one over the other. Because,
yeah. But turned out okay.
I hope so. It's gotten to the point, like, if I'm having a bad day, I just put Top Gun on, and it makes me feel better.
Yeah, I have not listened to Raffi since I was 3. So.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, I guess that explains why I don't know who Raffi is.
Yeah, he's not like top 40.
I also don't know. Like my friends will make Disney movie references, and they'll go right over my head because I never really watched that. I mean, I obviously watched The Lion King or Beauty and the Beast. Weirdly enough, Beauty and the Beast is probably my favorite one. I don't know why, but Top Gun.
Was it
outweighed all that stuff? And then by the time my dad just kind of like threw me into like grown up mode immediately, and I started watching adult movies. I watched Patton, which is like a 4-hour movie with my dad when I was like 7 years old. watching Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah,
my dad had no patience for animated movies.
Children's stuff, yeah.
No, not,
my parents had to hide Bambi from me because just looking at the cover would make me cry. Because Bambi's mom dies. It's in the. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Oh my god, Bambi's mom dies.
And apparently, just the sight of the cover of that movie would, when like VHS videos, like I remember it too. I would just sob. So.
That's
yeah. Horrible. We were. Raised very differently, so let us know what you do with your child or what you do as a patient.
And how weird our childhoods were.
We're like on the opposite of the spectrum. Like,
there's got to be someone in the middle. All right, so I think that pretty much covers it. Obviously, if you have any strategies that you've used with your kids, or if you're an older CF patient, if you have any strategies that you want to share, we'll definitely follow up with this and post them as well. But Making It Matter this week is the Teen Boomer Athlete of the Month for April, Sydney Willig. She is 13 years old from Pennsylvania, just outside Pittsburgh. If she's a Penguins fan, the playoffs start this week. Can't say I love the Penguins. But Sydney does a great job. She's on a travel soccer team. She plays She's a skier and she is a swimmer, which is really impressive for anyone with cystic fibrosis, but especially at a young age. And that's when you have to get kids involved in athletics. You have to get them. I mean, you don't have to, you know, create the next superstar athlete, but if you get them involved, interested, then you'll start to see their health benefit from activity at such a young age. And I'm sure Sydney is definitely experiencing that, and the importance of exercising with cystic fibrosis.
Absolutely. Go Sydney. Keep it up.
Love the name, too. It's my sister's name.
It is a great name.
But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 35th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSizen.com or JuliaRay.com. And you can also follow us on iTunes. If you do follow us on iTunes or any of the other social media platforms, smash the like button and share and review. Like, yes. Share, review. Like, share, review. Remember, it's big three in social media marketing. And then also Instagram, which is...
@makingitmatter_CF.
We've had a lot of activity on the Instagram lately. You've done a good job with that.
Thanks. Lots of content.
Yes, lots of content. Lots of content, definitely, for sure. Yeah. And you can also, where am I? If you want to see us podcast about something specific, sorry, I'm dealing with like a different platform today. If you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us an email at gunnersblog@assiasen.org, or Julia, her email address is?
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
And you can always message us on Facebook, because we love hearing from you, and we really want to hear about you for this episode, because there are obviously so many strategies for taking pills at such a young age. Like I said, my parents used to break up the pills and put them into yogurt, ice cream, obviously mix it into drinks, cut pills in half, downsize. I hated the liquid form of the medications, so I learned how to take a pill at a young age. You can also motivate them. If you take the pill, you get a little candy. You know, there's a lot of – you get to incentivize things, right, for little kids, and that's the best way to do it. So definitely we want to hear about your –
Yeah, teach us something, man.
Yes, we want to hear about your strategies as well. And that's it. Julie, do you have anything else?
That's it.
All right, this is Gunnar Esiason and Julia Rice signing off.
Bye, everyone.